This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like a Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
I apologize for the stillborns because I wasn't present. Your body wouldn't accept it. I apologize to all the women whom I toyed with your emotion, cause I was emotionless. And I apologize, cause at your best, you would love. And because I fall short of what I say I'm all about, your eyes leave with the soul that your body once housed. And you stare blankly into space, thinking of all the time you wasted it on all this basic shit. So
I apologize. Man, I had to, you know, I hate to do Jay-Z like 2 weeks in a row, but I think last week was, what, the 25th, the 26th anniversary of Reasonable Doubt. And then this week is the 5th anniversary of 444. I think it dropped June 30th, I want to say, 2017. And, man, it was, that's a dope album to me, a really dope album to me. And just the subject matter and the things he touched on in the album and the vulnerability he showed, you know, we always look at Jay, or he had this, like, reputation of being a certain character, and I think took some strides in breaking down some of those walls on that particular album. I've seen some people mark it as his only classic. Like that, I think at the time it was his 13th album, and is that his last one? I don't know, but there are people saying this is his only classic, and maybe I'll get my opinion on that later. It bleeds into what we're going to talk about, but I had to start the episode that way. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J. Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I must start by thanking you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill and listen to this thing that I do. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly appreciate it. I really got to thank y'all, because this week has just been crazy. Like, I can see the growth, and I can see things changing, and the engagement throughout the week from listeners was just, you know, at super high levels. I think I broke a couple records, you know, personally for me watching the numbers. Things just hit places, you know, I didn't expect it to hit. I don't know if it's because I talked about my sister and I let my sister know I talked about her. And I think she listened to the episode. Maybe she told her friends. I don't know. But the numbers was dope. There's a lot of Apple listeners. Appreciate y'all. Just to keep the Jay-Z theme going.
Thank you. You're fuck too kind.
Can't thank you enough, man. It's it warmed my soul. I cracked the top 10 on Good Pods for Personal Journals this week. And I mentioned that, and then like some of the feedback I got on on Facebook and some of the places I posted, which is super dope. Trying to stay consistent, trying to keep, you know, putting good quality content out there, show that I care about my listeners, and I'm just not going to give you filler. Hopefully these episodes have some meaning. I don't know. I try. Anyway, I don't know what we're talking about anymore. What am I drinking tonight? Tonight I'm doing Dark Iris from August Uncommon. Hold on. Hopefully you're not getting all the me drinking sounds. I'm working with some new equipment I did to make myself feel better. I guess it was maybe my Father's Day gift to myself. I went out and got the Rodecaster Pro 2. I already had the Rodecaster Pro, but now I'm rocking with the 2. And I like it so far. It's got some dope features. It's got some things I want to play around with. But this is the first episode being recorded on that new equipment. So I have no idea how this is going to turn out. It sounds amazing in my headphones, but I don't know what it's going to sound like when it gets to you. Here's hoping it sounds dope. Whatever. But yeah, I'm doing the Dark Iris, which is a peach, pistachio, and lime. And it's one of my favorites. I think I talked about it before. It's one of my favorites. Super complex, whatever you want to call that. I'm doing it iced this week, which is a way that I enjoy it. I don't know. I have a hard time, like, you know, it's just the toxic masculinity in me to be able to say, like, yeah, I'm drinking some peach, pistachio, lime, iced tea. It don't go over well. But it is one of my favorites. I decided to brew it this week because Big Sis, the astrophotographer, as dope as she is, she hit me because she also like is heavy into the natural stuff and the herbs, and she grows. She has a garden. She's super dope. But she found out I was into tea on my visit back home, and she hit me this week. She had brewed a tea out of blueberries and lavender, and I think she added some lime to it. And she was telling me how dope it was. And I bought some blueberries. I couldn't find the lavender. I think I'm going to buy some lavender plants for the patio and stuff. I hear it's a natural insect repellent. And y'all know the battles that I've had. So I think I'm going to get me some lavender. And I might have to add that to the repertoire. That'll be my own, like, personal brew. So I don't know how that's going to fit into this sponsorship thing. By the way, nobody is sponsoring this at the moment. I just keep shouting out companies in hopes that one day. August Uncommon. I'm talking about you all the time. Dark Iris, one of my favorites. Ah, but yeah. Anyway, let's get into the episode. Let's start with the usual stuff, the Chef Elise Report.
Out of Pepe.
Our show is. Man, so yeah, this is my weekend with Chef Elise. So we just had our visit. She left earlier today. And people say this all the time, and it is 100% true. Parenting is a thankless job. It's a thankless job. So is teaching. So is a lot of jobs. A lot of things are thankless, but I'm a parent, so we're talking about parenting. And I don't mean, like, thank yous from, like, people, because I don't want that. Those actually get on my nerves. My ex-wife has a habit of doing it. And I don't know if she means well, and I'm not, like, this is not a diss or anything like that, but she always, like, thanks me when she comes to pick her up, I guess, for, you know, giving her a break. And it rubs me the wrong way, because I don't want a thank you for doing something I'm supposed to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want a cookie for, like, you're supposed to take care. I should be contributing to, you know, her rearing and spending time with my daughter. I want to do it. I enjoy doing it. So when she says thank, and I know why she's saying thank you. So again, this is not a diss. I'm not nothing like that. It just always is like, don't thank me for taking care of my kid. My uncle used to have a saying, don't thank me, thank God. And I think I drove her crazy with that shit when we was married. It's probably why. Another stack that on the list of reasons that we divorced, but I'm trying not to do that anymore. I'm trying to learn that when people say thank you for something, the appropriate response, and most adults know this, but I'm catching up. The appropriate response is you're welcome. But for me, for years of just being an asshole, like, and I not being an asshole, because my uncle used to say, and it was an endearing thing. I love him for it, and I want to keep it going. But years of being that, you know, like the reflex is, don't thank me, thank God. But I see how it rubs people the wrong way. But yeah. But the thank yous that I am talking about in this, like, thankless thing is from the kids. Like, it's from the kids. I don't want to thank you from anybody else for, like, doing stuff for my daughter. But you try to raise your kids to have manners and stuff like that. And in the way that they can talk to you sometimes, like, I need that thank you. You need to appreciate what dad does. So, like, this weekend, we were chilling, and then just to take it back, like, earlier in the week, her mom called me because they were having an issue, like, with her eating breakfast or something. I think she had a sleepover, she had a friend over, and mom had to work that day, and, you know, she was trying to get him breakfast. She was going to scramble some eggs or something, and you know, Chef Elise took issue with that. She didn't want scrambled eggs, she wanted a fried egg, and it was one of the moments where I had to, like, not seemed like proud of it, but she was like, but dad makes it this way. And I'm like, yeah, dad sure does. But but yeah, I mean, I have one of them little pans, so I'll, like, fry her one egg. It's like a pan big enough for one egg. It's an egg pan, I guess, whatever, I don't know. But I'll, like, fry her one egg, and because that's the way she's asked for it. And but when you got multiple kids and you try to do something quick, you know, scrambled eggs is the thing. And so I say all that to say, we sitting on the couch this morning, and we already had breakfast. I asked her what she wanted that morning, and she wanted cereal. So I hit her with the Fruit Loops, you know, and we was all good. And then we sitting there, and she just does I'm hungry. And I'm trying to, like, break her out of that. Like, when you say, because that's a very, this is why I get in trouble. Because that's a very, like, female thing to do to me. It's just like, what you want is some food. You're asking me for food. But instead of asking me to do something for me, you just like make your need known. And then I should just jump to fill that need. And I hate that. So, but, and it's probably just a kid thing to do, but I, you know, toxic masculinity, I carried a thing with me. So she hits me with the I'm hungry, and I'm like, ah, so you are asking for food. Would you like to ask me to make you something to eat? You know, and I'm like, well, what do you want? And she never knows. Again, very, you know, we could put that on women if we wanted to, but it's growing in her at six already. It's crazy. She never knows what she wants to eat. And so I thought back to the whole conversation with her mom. So I'm like, you know, it's early. You know, we still in like a breakfast mode. I'm gonna make her, you know, a fried egg. And I made two little fried eggs. I made sure to do it the way she wants it. It can't be in the pan too long. She likes, you know, like white whites. If there's any brown, she's gonna frown about it. So I was really careful with the way I made the eggs. And then my mom sent some like cookie cutters so we could do the tea parties. And one of the cookie cutters was Mickey Mouse shaped. So I'm like, I'ma take it another level. I'ma make her some toast, but I'ma cut out, you know, these Mickey Mouse shapes from the toast, and I'ma toast it that way, and I'ma put cinnamon sugar on it. Like, dad was trying to do like some super level dad stuff. Like, I really wanted my little girl to be happy with the little meal that dad was going to provide for her because she was hungry. And I did all that. I set it up, and I put it down. I was like, all right, here you go. You said you was hungry. You know, enjoy. And I was just waiting for her to, like, get to the plate and see the little Mickey Mouse toast. And her first reaction was, why is the toast shaped like Mickey Mouse? And I'm like, because I had, you know, like, and all of a sudden trying to explain it, like, why? Like, how do I explain why? Because I thought you would like it, because I don't know. I was trying to get you to like me or something. Like, you know, it was a weird question. Well, I'm not saying I don't like it. I just don't understand why it's shaped like me. Like, God damn it. And and then she ate like maybe four or five bites of one egg. I made two. And then she took like a nibble out of the toast with the cinnamon. Like, I tried. And it's like not even a thank you. Not only did I not get a thank you, but she didn't eat it. It didn't, like, none of the effort went over at all. And it's just par for the course. This is what parenting is. You know, everything you do is a sacrifice. And it very rarely gets acknowledged by the person you want the acknowledgement from. Like, I don't want anybody else to be like, oh, you know, that was great. You know, great dad stuff. Like, that's cool. I appreciate it. But, being a dad is not something I want kudos from. But I do want... my little girl to appreciate the effort that her dad puts in. Like, you know, this is how much I got ketchup in my house, you know. And if you know me, I don't do condiment. I hate ketchup. I think I did I did a whole rant on like ketchup and pickles, and I tried to compare it to something I probably shouldn't have. But it's out there, me talking about ketchup and pickles. I hate it. It's disgusting to me. And I have a whole bottle of ketchup in my refrigerator just for her, and she will never understand like how much love that is from me. Like the fact that your dad has ketchup in his house. Cause I don't. It wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. It hurts me every time I see it when I open the fridge and you're not here. Like, I just wanna smack it out the fridge. Like, fuck me. You know, like, I hate ketchup, but I got it for her. And she'll never. One day. I know. One day it comes. I try to tell people that, like, don't worry about the battles you have with your kids. Cause me and my mom, I could have sworn she hated me, and I'm pretty sure she thought I hated her growing up. And I don't know if there wasn't a time where we did feel that way about each other, but at this point, like, you know, she'll tell you, she probably talks to me more than anybody else, and I could say the same for her. And then, like, she's bought a million and two things. I had to stop her this weekend from buying dresses. I think we postponed the tea party partly because dad just didn't have it to do all of, like, you know, all the stuff my mom has sent. It was going to be a thing. I was going to have to do a lot, like setting up this table with the silverware and the plates. And I was looking at recipes for cookies and stuff we can make. And it just got crazy. And I was like, we should get you a dress first. So, you know, so we decided we're going to get her a nice fancy tea party dress, and dad will dress up too. And then we'll do the tea party. So I know I got to do it, and I got to do it big. Now it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But I mentioned the dress thing to my mom, and she, like, started sending me links for dresses. I'm like, Ma, I'll buy the dress. I'll buy the dress. Like, I don't. You've done enough. I love you and I appreciate you. I got in trouble last week for mentioning the crystal plates that she bought. You told people I bought crystal plates. And so it wasn't a diss. It was just like, this is how much, like, my mom is one of those people that once she knows you like something or that you're into something, like, she is just going to go. And she's not going, no regard to, like, her finances or how this affects her. She just wants to, you know, do something to make you happy. And that's dope. And that's parenting. And I should thank her. I thank her now as a 40-year-old, but yeah. To imagine that you got to wait 40 years to get your thanks for the shit that you do as a parent. I don't know. You know, yeah, I'm an addict. I like that instant gratification. So I got to chill. But that's the Chef Elise report for this week. She's a dope kid. I love her.
Out of Pepe.
I show is. Nick. Anyway. So yeah, to get to the topic of this week's episode, I just shot in the dark ass last week, like, on Twitter, like, what should I talk about? Because I think I've told y'all, I get to, like, Saturday, Sunday every week, and I have no idea what I'm going to do, like, a 30-minute episode about. And I'm usually doing this at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, because that's around the time where something just finally breaks through. Desperation hits me. I'm like, you know, this may not be a good topic, but it's a topic, and we're going to talk about it. But so last week I asked y'all, and my homie, good friend, one of the people that got me into podcasting and showed me it was possible, Jay, formerly from the Just Say Words pod, I think right now he's just using his platform, you know, to tell jokes and stuff like that. But he's still a dope dude. And so he reached back and he gave me a topic for this week. So basically I'll read his tweet verbatim, and I'm gonna try to correct it a little bit because I think he had a typo in there. But anyway, he said, I should talk about the critiquing of albums that have been out for like 30 minutes and why this new generation shouldn't give music takes. And it actually, like, tied into something that happened to me this week. So I figured, yeah, let's talk about that. So first off, let me say this. Like, I don't want to make it a new generation versus old generation. Am I the old generation? That sounds fucked up. But the old heads versus new school type thing. I'm at the opinion now that nobody should give takes on music. Like, none of it. And I know, like, the 30-minute, because we live in this microwave popcorn society. So it feels like if new music comes out, if you don't talk about it immediately, like 5 days from now, it's irrelevant. Nobody wants to hear what the fuck you have to say. We've moved on. And it happens to me so much, because usually it seems like when the cycle hits and music comes out that I like, it's like a lot of it at once. And so I'll get like a Pusha T album and think it's dope. And then, you know, a week later realize I haven't listened to that Pusha T album in several days because, I don't know, J. Cole dropped something or Benny the Butcher dropped something. And now I'm all about that. And like, I have to. The cool thing I'm doing now is, like, new music to me is old music I forgot about. And so when I play it, it's almost like hearing it for the first time again. But, you get that nostalgia thing. But that's, like, new music for me. But I think that plays a lot into it, is that when things happen, if you don't have something to say about it now, like, right now, like that, like, you know, Cat Williams used to do, like, that fast. Like, if you don't have something to say about it that fast, it's irrelevant. Nobody wants to hear about it. By the time you had time to digest it and formulate a real opinion. So, you know, with that said, I don't think anybody should have takes on music, or not that they shouldn't, but just that it's futile. None of us should care. Like, there are a million shows and YouTube channels and stuff like that are dedicated toward critiquing and reviewing things. You know, one of my favorite podcasters, Drea, from Drea's Point of View, every Friday she does a review of something, maybe not music, but of something. And people, I look forward to them. I'm sure other people look forward to, you know, folks' opinions on things. But at the end of the day, you got to take that opinion and just, like, that was interesting, like, hearing somebody's perspective. But it shouldn't have anything to do with how, you shouldn't care enough to, like, be upset about it. Somebody's opinion. You shouldn't care enough to let it guide your decisions on music. So the interesting thing had happened to me this week was I'm on a lot of these message boards for, you know, black podcasts and podcasts in general. And so, you know, I may see something and decide to go listen to it and say something about it. So I found Phil and Leroy's The Judgmental Podcast. And so basically they are like a music reviewing podcast, but they do like older albums or like classic albums or stuff from the 90s. I haven't seen many of their reviews that are like recent music. Like they go back and listen to something. And what I found so dope about the way they review these albums was like they review them and they talk about what was going on at the time this music was released. So they review the albums almost in context. Like, and that's important. Like I think they did Eminem's album and they were just talking about, you know, the other albums that dropped at the time, the sound at the time, you know, and I thought it was super dope. I don't know if I agree on their opinion on the album, but I just liked, you know, taking that journey with them, being in that time capsule. That's how I commented on it, you know, and mentioned, you know, how much I enjoy the way that they framed their review around what was going on. And they asked if I had an album I wanted them to review. And I was mad at myself because I couldn't think of anything dope. Like people do sometimes look to me as like they look at my taste in music or the way I digest music, the way I talk about music. And so people think, you know, he has good taste in music. They want to hear what I like or what my thoughts are on something. And so when these guys ask, they don't know me, but I'm still looking. I was looking to like wow them with my album choice. And I was drawing a blank. So I came up with the Firm album, that Nas, AZ, Foxy Brown, Nature album. Because it's a dope album to me. I think it hit at a specific time. I might have been like in the 11th grade when that album hit. And it's a dope album, Phone Tap, all them joint, like, you know, Noriega was on it. Just for like 90s hip hop, that East Coast 90s kind of sound, even though like Dr. Dre was heavily involved in the production. And so it was a dope album. I'm not trying to turn this into my Firm review. So I sent that to him and then they finally hit me back and was like, reviewed it. Here's the episode. Let us know what you think. So I listened to the episode and they did their normal two-step. Like they went very in-depth. Like whatever you think I know about music, I don't know shit compared to these dudes. Like they knew who produced the track, you know, what the relationships were between the different producers or the producers and the artists, the hardships that was going on, who was in the studio. Like they was getting crazy in-depth with, you know, what the background of the album beyond just the music. But they ate that album alive. Like I don't think they liked anything, and they both shitted on Phone Tap. It hurt my soul to listen to. Like it really did. It really did. But at the end of the day, I listened to that review. I can't knock any of their opinions because one, they're their opinions, and two, they was based on quite a bit of information, more information than I had. But when that thing was over, I just wanted to go listen to the Firm album again. Like I still loved the album. Like who? Thank you for the review. It was an entertaining episode. I think, you know, if you're into, you know, those kind of podcasts, that's a great podcast to listen to. Phil and Leroy, The Judgmental Podcast. Check them out. No knocks on them whatsoever. But it was like, fuck what you think. Phone Tap is a classic. I'm about to listen to it right now. You know, and that's what I did for the rest of the day. And so, yeah, so it's like these takes on albums or these takes on new music. It's just it's a product of today. It's a product of this like microwave popcorn society. Everybody's got an opinion, and your opinion is only relevant for like the first 15 minutes something drops. So people gotta get it out there. But like who cares? Who cares? Like, you know, that Drake album dropped. People hate it, people love it, you know. And people like get mad at each other for hating it. Or they guys, old heads, blah, 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 blah. And you know, or this album is only for dudes who, you know, like to pick nail polish colors or whatever. I don't know. I'm pretty sure somebody said this album is only for dudes to drink green tea or something. But I had to pause to get some peach pistachio lime. But yeah, like, you know, who cares? I'm sure most people, it was a very divisive album. And most people decided that they liked it or didn't like it very quickly and had an opinion on it. And I don't think that should have stopped anybody else from listening to it. At least check it out, decide, you know, if it's for you, if it's not. I missed out on maybe like one of the ones. I don't know if all dudes had like several ones that got away or several ones or whatever. I don't know. But I think I've told this story before where the girl told me I reminded her of a Nas song. And as you can see from how much Jay-Z I play,
thank you.
I took sides when that whole shit happened. And I became like an anti-Nas kind of dude, especially with everybody like Nas won and Jay won. It's not debated. But so, yeah, she told me I reminded her this particular Nas song. And I just, I brushed it off. Like I paid no attention to it. And I never listened to this song. And it's, like I said, one of the ones that got away. I wish I'd listened to the song, because later on it turned out to be was like cherry wine or something like that. And I listened to it, sounded like she was shooting a shot, and fucking missed it because of my biased opinions on music. Just like, yeah, I don't know. You may not like any song an artist has ever made in life, and then his new one might be the one for you. Or maybe you like every song an artist has ever made, and the new one is going to be the one you think is trash, but you won't know until you listen to it. And somebody else's opinion should matter for nothing. Like, fuck it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's an opinion. Enjoy it, you know. Be entertained by it. Laugh. I laugh at some of the memes and stuff, but I don't think anybody should give their takes on music. But if you do, okay, whatever. Yeah, I go back and forth on loving and hating my own shit. So if you listen to me, you'd never listen to any of my music. And I still don't think you should. But because I hate it every third week of the month. So I don't know. You know, whatever. There'll be an episode soon probably where I'm in one of those bags where I was the dopest ever. I feel like I missed out on an opportunity when I was at the Uncomfortable Truth podcast. I made a claim that they were talking about like Wale being the greatest rapper from the area. And I was like, fuck, you know what I mean? I'm the greatest. I'm the biggest hater. But I didn't like drop any bars or anything to like substantiate that claim. I missed the opportunity there. Speaking of that, funny story that kind of maybe ties into all this and ties into what's going to be an upcoming episode. So I'm up there recording this show with the Uncomfortable Truth podcast. Like I said, friends of mine that I went to middle school with. And so when I was back in the DMV, you know, to be able to do that show with them was big. And I had just come from the Black Power Festival, and one of their sessions was on black male wellness, like, you know, men being fully whole and like, you know, taking care of ourselves, self-care for Black men. And one of the things they mentioned that I thought was dope, and so I had the conversation with the Uncomfortable Truth fellas. I never say fellas. Anyway, was about how, like, we as men, and I don't even think this is a Black man, Black male thing, but we as men, like, we don't have truly emotional relationships with our male friends. Like, we don't have relationships with our male friends that foster, like, emotional support. And I want to do like a whole show around this. And in writing this script, I just came up with the idea of like the people I want to invite. I think I could do it big, and it's going to be super dope. So keep your eyes out for that. But we were having a conversation about that, and, you know, we were talking about whatever. And in the midst of it, you know, a few things got revealed, and people started talking about, you know, personal shit. And it was good. It was good. It was cathartic. It was, you know, Black male wellness. We did it. And at the end of the episode, when the mics and everything were off, we were just talking about, you know, other episodes and interviews and stuff like that. And it got to this conversation that they've had about what's the better album, Thriller or The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. And so it was like four of us in the room. You get four dudes, our generation, and you bring up that question. It's a debate. It's a topic. We're going to talk about it. And fuck what you think. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is a better album. She was simultaneously one of the best rap, not female rappers, but best rappers in the game, and like the best, you know, R&B vocalist in the game at the same time. And that album taught an entire generation what reciprocity means. You know what I'm saying? Like, who would have ever looked up that word? Never. She did it. She did that for us. So, yeah. Debate over. That's not the point of the story. But we was going back and forth about, you know, this album and what it meant, and, you know, and like when you play what, and you know, so we was doing the whole Thriller versus Lauryn Hill kind of conversation. And at some point, you know, because this is what happened, like when you lose in the battle, it was like the personal shit. Like, well, that's why you probably played the album when you was black, you know. And it was like, exact. This is exactly why we don't come to each other for emotional support, because this is what the fuck happens. Like, and I, you know, it gets used against you basically. And I've made that point about like why men don't open up to women, but we don't open up to each other either, and for the very same reason. I think in that moment it was funny, like, you know, it wasn't a truly like scarring, traumatic thing that got brought up. The dude was already laughing about it, you know, during the episode. It was just like, let's, it was an inside joke. This is the thing we already talked about why we don't talk to each other about shit. Let's use that in this. And we all laughed and it was funny. I think ladies, y'all do this shit in public when it's not funny about stuff that you know is still sore. But that's a whole nother conversation. And I'm going to have that conversation at some point on this show, with, I think, some of, you know, some dope panelists, and you should look out for it, because it's going to be crazy dope. But yeah, so again, to come back to the question, or the topic, critiquing of an album that's been out for 30 minutes and why this new generation shouldn't give music takes. My opinion, nobody should give music takes. I'm the biggest person that's guilty of the 30 minute take. My best friend, I'm pretty sure when new albums comes out, you know, he blocks my number or something, because he know, like, I'm going to be three songs in and call him, it's a classic. Like, I think Born Sinner dropped the J. Cole album, and by the time I hit Land of Snakes, I was like, it's a classic, greatest album ever. And you know, my personal opinion, it loses steam. there's like a whole section of the album I really don't listen to, because it's not for me. And you might not feel that way, but that was like my 30-second take, was it was a classic. And so, yeah, he don't never talk to me when something new drop. He's always going to wait a couple weeks before he even respond to me about anything. You heard that, blah, blah, blah. It'll be like, you know, a month later, oh, man, I just saw your message. All right, bro, I know. I know I'm annoying. Fuck it, though. I am what I am. But yeah, nobody should give takes. And if they do give takes, take them for what they are, and say, fuck it. Fuck it, though. You know, whatever. That's how you feel. That's how you feel. I'm going to listen to it, see how I feel. And don't get mad at somebody for feeling a way about something. Who cares? Who cares? It don't change. Like, you know, that Drake album is not doing numbers. It's doing numbers. No matter how many people hate it, it's still doing numbers. It's not my cup of tea. I haven't listened to it past the cursory, you know, skip play I gave it on a night it dropped. It's not for me. But it's for a lot of people. So who the fuck cares if I don't like it? Why should I care if you do? That's my take on that. So appreciate you, Jay, for the topic. Hope I did it justice. As usual, if you're looking to get your health and fitness together, your nutrition, trying to get muscular or whatever, I think he's getting prepped for the bodybuilding competition. But my man, Zaya Fitness, hit him up on livealphafitness.com. That's livealphafitness.com. He can get you where you need to be. I got my merch at the whatistws.com store. You can get all the shirts from all the sayings. I got the Fuck It Though shirts. I got the Do It For The Algorithm shirts. I don't think I had the Chef Elise. I'm going to put that out there. And then I designed a Hello Hello Loads of Jello shirt for Chef Elise. I'm probably going to put that on the site too. But coupon code Algorithm will get you 20% off your entire order. So hit up the whatistws.com merch store and get you some merch. And then if you like me and you're looking for ways to, you know, do this thing, this NA thing, non-alcoholic thing, check out Hoplark and their beverages. They have beverages brewed with hops. So they have a very, you know, craft beer, craft brew taste to them. They're delicious, but there's absolutely no fermentation. So there's no alcohol, no sugar, no carbs, but great drinks. I love them. You can go to whatistws.com/hops, and that'll get you 15% 15% Hold on.
Oh, shit!
That'll get you 15% off your entire order at the Hoplark store. So check them out and get your non-alcoholic beverages the best way to NA. But with that being said, I appreciate y'all. Thank you again for this week. It's been a dope week. Thank you for all of the kind words and the support. I definitely appreciate it. It means the world to me. And until we speak again, be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.